Okay, so the topic that we turn to now, that comes up in the Gemara next, is Shvuas Leonim Bolshana Nemra. And so the Gemara says, Tanrabanan Shvuas Leonim Aki Bolshana Nemra. I just want to go through how is it that this is conducted, how to do this. And it says that it's Bolshana Nemra. Rov Rishonim understand this to mean that this means that it can be said with whatever Lashon the person is fluent with. It can be said b'chol lashon. That's what Rov Rishonim take this to mean. By Rov, we mean, I think, everybody except for the Rima Gash. It's a Ruba Zeruba. But the Rima Gash disagrees. Right, the Rima Gash here says b'lashon nemar means that it should be said b'lashon hakodesh. There may be an antecedent of this approach of the Rima Gash in the Shuvos HaGaonim, in the name of Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, that we'll come back to after. But either way, this is certainly among Rishonim an outlier, and the question is how to understand it. Kesef Mishnah claims Tamei Kirdin, right? He says, "Im Kain Yeshu Dama Rosh Avosav Efsher Delo Midina Ka'amri Tamei Dina Elam Mishnah Dahav Ikiobana Dadaini." Right? It's just a little bit insulting, embarrassing if you don't use that lashon. Miyashbu'u V'lashon Acheres. That's a separate interesting point. So he claims, Kesef Mishnah claims, that basically the Rima Gash doesn't really require Bidina. This is sort of just, it's not quite an Iktova, but a preference. It's very hard to argue that in the Rima Gash, the Rima Gash is interpreting with the din of the Gemara. He doesn't say this is how you do it. The Rima Gash is not writing a code of, you know, Sidre based on din. Four people that are taking shuas, he's interpreting the Gemara, and he says, "Well, the Gemara says Api Bolshana Nemra means Lashon HaKodesh." So it seems pretty clear that this is Meikar HaDin, not just sort of a Neitah Tov. So that raises all sorts of questions, and these really are two. First of all, textually, there are some reasons that Rishonim had a problem with this. Number one, the Gemara in Lama Chesed Aleph, whereas the Gemara in Lama Chesed Beis simply says Shuas HaGaonim Api Bolshana Nemra. The Gemara Lama Tesim Beis seems to give this Lama Tesim Anal seems to give this some context, which makes it impossible to say what the Rima Gash is saying. It says it quotes the Mishnah in Sota in the Paragin Nivarn, which lists several legal cases of required divor, which can be said b'chol lashon, and then it says at the end of it. The Kamar Nami Shvus the Yanim Aki Boshon and Nemra, right? Elo Nemar Bechol Lashon, Chule Guchule, Pasha Sota, the Mice, etc. Shvus the Abish was the fellow which come back to the Kamar Nami Shvus the Yanim Aki Boshon and Nemra. So right there you have it, seems pretty explicit. The Ritva has the likeliest answer for that, I think. Did anybody see the Ritva says? I don't know if it was in the latest edition of the Makar Sheets. He just says that according to the Rima Gash, what we have in our Gemara is not really quite accurate. It's ala seifa kasamech, right? It's sort of like, you know, this happens sometimes in the Gemara where the Gemara is being medayik. Every now and then it happens, but the Gemara is referencing a pasuk, but it only will quote the first few words, not the words that are actually a crucial part of the pasuk that the Gemara is referring to. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen sometimes. And here, so this is what the Rufa claims is that the Rima Gash would probably say that Lavdaka the first part of the Mishnah, it's. You know, really, you should be reading dot dot dot, and the rest of the Mishnah is the crucial part. At the end of the Mishnah, Afi Boshana Nemra is referring to the second half of that Mishnah Sota, where the things which had to be said Boshana Kodesh are listed. To that adds the Gemara Afi Boshana Nemra, Boshana referring to Boshana Kodesh, either referring to Lashon, presumably referring to Lashon Torah. Okay, so that's as far as that's concerned. The other, perhaps less simple makor to sort of maneuver around is, and this is the one that Rov Rishonim referred to as what?
Tosefta.
The Tosefta and Sota. Right. So the Tosefta and Sota says explicitly that it's B'chol Lashon. The Tosefta and Sota lists B'shuas HaDayanin as being able to be said B'chol Lashon. The question is, what does Rima Gash do with that? And that is, in fact, the raya that most Rishonim say really disproves this Rima Gash. So here I think one could say probably one of two things, I think. I think the most likely thing to say is that Perhaps
that's the Josefta.
That's not Rebbe. And perhaps the, you know, that's exactly the contrast is striking. Rebbe does not have that. Rebbe Rishon already bothered by this. Why is it not in the Mishnah? So Rebbe Gash can maybe say, you know, that's the Brisa, let's say, of Oshia. So he held the choice of the Yana. It's pretty conspicuous that it's not in the Mishnah, and that's not an accident. Rebbe didn't agree with that. That's possible. One wonders why Rishonim didn't think this was clearly what the Rebbe Gash would have held. It's possible that they thought, maybe it's an interesting methodological issue. Just looking at Tosefta's and Mishnah's, and whether or not we can always assume that if the Tosefta says something which doesn't conflict with the Mishnah, but it's conspicuously absent from it, does that mean that we must accept it, or could it be that maybe Rebbe doesn't have that? It's not like it's a din that, you know, didn't cross his mind, you know, that just he didn't think about adding that prod in. This is something that obviously, if you're thinking Shuos HaEdus, Shuos HaKadon, right, your mind has to naturally think about Shuos HaDeanim. So the fact that it's not there is because he didn't hold that. I think that seems to be reasonable.
No one says that, right?
The Rebbe Gash doesn't come to defend himself.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, the question is what the Rebbe Gash would have said.
Right.
The truth is, I don't know, that, I mean, the Rishonim say this more in the way of, you know, they think that Rebbe Gash is wrong because of the Zepta. Not so much that he couldn't possibly have said, how could he possibly have even said this? So it sounds like maybe they thought this is probably the case, but maybe you could argue, maybe this is probably the case, this is the case of the Rebbe Gash, that he held that this Tosefta is Tosefta, it's not the Mishnah for a reason, but they themselves thought that if there's no conflict, so it's, you know, Tanavashir is, you know, is a norm, is something which happens, and that's what happened here. And what Rebbe was Mishayir, so the office of the Brisa were not. The Mahadir and the Rebbe Gash has a different answer, which conceptually, I'm fine with. I don't know how well it works textually, but this is the Mahadir, the Rebbe Gash in the Yeshivas Be'er Yaakov edition. As far as I know, the only annotated edition of the Rebbe Gash. I don't know how critical of an edition it is, but it's annotated. So he has here in the footnotes. He says, "Masha hiksha Ramban mit Tosefta, hine mit Tosefta, I really inyan chiyu with the shvua. B'zev vaylei kol shvuas shavin beikar chetz of the kol shvuas hein ul chiyu and bechol lashem neemra. Aval sugi dehach, I really inyan shvuas adiganim hechi mishpayin la. Ul inyan dinim ham yuchadim shneemra b'shvuas adiganim ech lashbiya. V'kamo din akudi chetz, shakas v'rshanim, shudimicha b'shvuas adiganim, etc., etc." And then he says, "Kumash katz of Adoni Avi, Adoni Zekni, not sure exactly, Moreno Hanetziv." I don't know who the author is. Apparently, what?
Grandson Hanetziv.
Oh, yeah. So that's correct. This is Rafal Shapiro's descendants. That's the father-in-law of Rafal. So he claims that, I guess I didn't see this in Tziv, that the Hanetziv says this. We'll come back to the point he's making about what the Nitziv says, but what he's basically claiming is that what Shuos Adayan doing in the Tosefta, that's talking about Shuos Adayan qua as a Shuos Abikadon. In other words, if in the course of saying Shuos Adayan you lie, so then you have a chiyuv korban, right? As a shvus bikadon, that's b'chalashon. But what the Gemara here is talking about is the sidre hadin. How do we do it? Right. The Gemara here is talking about not what happens if it's false, what's the din if it's incorrect, but rather how does Beis Din conducted in the first place when they're mechayev somebody to take a shvuah for Beis Din. Right, so basically saying that as far as the din shvuas leganim kid shvuas begadon, right, as far as it's being a subcategory of shvuas begadon, legabi the din if it's false, it's violated, so that has a din of shus mikadon, it doesn't, it can be b'chalasha. What Rabbi Gash is saying here is that the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying here is, when it comes to how do we conduct shus d'ganim as a shus d'ganim in basin to be, you know, to be extracted from the nishbas, that's the b'lashon kodesh. The reason I think this is very problematic is just if you look at the sept actually reflects a lot of what we have here in our Gemara. It talks about the iyumim. It sounds like very much like what we're dealing with there is exactly what we're dealing with here, which is how do we conduct a shuvah zayin? And I don't know if anybody noticed this, but the sept, that line is not talking, you know, just saying talking about chiyuvim for taking shuvah. It's talking about how do you conduct a shuvah zayin. So I don't know why this answer seemed to be, again, conceptually that would be fine. If you just said Shmuz Eliyanim is Bechol Hashem, you might have been able to say that that's referring to the Chiyu if it's false. Right? That's referring to the consequence of it being false. Right? And in that sense, it's really just a case of Shmuz Habigada. But here, whereas here we're talking about, you know, the Sidri Hadin of Shmuz Eliyanim, how is it conducted as a Shmuz Eliyanim, so that requires Lashon Kodesh. It just doesn't work, I think, in terms of the context of what you have in the Sefer. All right, so I think the most likely answer then is Rami Gash thought that's the Sefer. The Rebbe didn't have it there because he didn't agree. Okay. So that's just in terms of textual. But then the major point we're going to focus on now is just sort of conceptually understanding Rami Gash. Number one, what exactly is his position? And number two, how do we understand it? Why should it require it? So first, what exactly is this shita? So here, I think we can consider two possibilities. The first possibility is to understand that maybe a shita is that shvus leyanim is not, it's not a unique thing to shvus leyanim. This is a really, shvus leyanim is just one example of a more general klal, which is that shvua requires lashon hakodesh, with the exception that is listed in the Mishnah Zotah mentioned here, the exceptions of shvus bikadon and shvus edus and shvus Zotah. Right, but otherwise, other than those three, and for us, the more relevant context to compare it to, or other than Shvus HaDeyanim and Shvus HaEdus and Shvus HaVikadon, Shvua Kechlal, the general rule, Shvua requires Lashon HaKodesh. This, if you look at the Rashba, so the truth is that this is what the Rashba, who initially says, you know what, I hear the Rav Gash, I hear it. This is how he took it. He says, and we notice this, the Rashba sort of flirts with the Rami Gash's approach, right, as Shita, and he expands it in this precise way. He says, the Rami Gash, Afi Boshon Rima B'Lashon HaKodesh, right, Kolma Afi Nemeres B'Lashon HaKodesh, Ke'osam Shishnishnu Sham B'Sevet Mesnison, already, it's been agreed, but the defense alone for the Gemara Lam test with the Rami Gash. He says, L'chora K'dvarav Haya Nirali, Midpirshu Sham Be'ilu HaNemarn B'Cholashon, Shuas Eidus, Shuas Vekadon, Shuas Eidus, and of course, so come on, we'll get to. And came Kosha Ar Shavuos Minayin. What's his point? His point is when the Mishnah and Sota list Shuas Eidus, Shuas Vekadon, it doesn't just list them and say they need to be B'Cholashon. The Gemara in Sota proceeds to ask Minolan, what's the basis for it? And in fact, it cites Sukkim to tell us. Right, to tell us that you should know, right, that these are the lashon, these are acceptable b'chol lashon. So what was I thinking beforehand? Says the Rashi. Apparently, we were thinking that it has to be b'lashon hakodesh. Now, if I have a pasuk to tell me otherwise regarding shvus edus v'shvus bikadon, there isn't such pasuk regarding shvus. The other shvus, the chol shar shvus, it isn't so. So I would have said this makes sense. So the approach that he's taking in, you know, his initial inclination to side with the Rami Gash here was that this is a Shvus HaDeyanim is just an example of the general principle that Shvur requires Lashon HaKodesh, with the exception of cases where the Gemara and Sota tells us, the Pasuk tells us, Pasuk negates the general rule for these cases, that they require Lashon HaKodesh, they are B'chol Lashon. Now this shot of the Rashi here, just it should be first noted, assumes, comes down on, it is only viable if you take the position of Rashi in Machlokas Rashi Tosfos regarding that this Gemara and Sota, what was the hav needed that the pasuk was negating regarding Shvus HaKodesh and Shvus HaEdus? Meaning, right, Rashi was assuming something. He's assuming that in the analysis of the Havina, that Rosh is correct and not tells us. What I mean? There in the Gemara and Sotah, Alatar, right, this issue of what was the Gemara of Havina, right? The Gemara, it said that Shuas.
You saw it here?
Yeah. That Shuas, Ha'idus, and Shuas Bekadon, Minalon, that you can be sent the whole Lashon. So this is an issue that Alatar, Rashi, and Tosos debated. What was the Havina? So Rashi says that the Havina was that. Why would I have thought that it should be the Lashon HaKodesh? Rashi says, what is the answer?
You would have thought from Harbizim Harival.
Shvua Sargrizim Harival. There's a Shvua, one of the things that requires Lashon HaKodesh. It's sort of an interesting addition there, because it's, in one sense you might say it's Maida Hava Hava. What halacha is it? So what kind of thing that happened? But apparently there was a din that it had to be the Lashon HaKodesh.
It makes sense if you say you could teach those other things.
Yeah, maybe. Just an interesting thing. I mean, or it could be that, even though it was Hava, but still, it wasn't just that it happened that way, it had to be that way, and that's what the commission wants you to know. It's interesting, I don't know.
And also, hard to learn from that, though, because that's the. I would say whatever Lashon you understand. So what Lashon did they understand?
Well, that's what the Mishnah would be telling you, that's not true.
Not true.
That's exactly what the Mishnah's Kiddush would be, was you should think.
That's what they didn't speak. They didn't speak Hebrew.
No, they didn't speak Egyptian.
They didn't change their language, Russia. They knew Egyptian.
What was the common. That would be a thing.
First of all, I happen not to know whether or not that's an accurate point. Did they only know Hebrew?
I'm not saying they only know, but I'm saying, would that not be the language of choice?
Why would it
be? I mean, my question, if it's not language of choice, then that's a reason for asking. Why is it DACA Hebrew?
That would, that's true, but even it would be the language of choice. But I think the Mishnah's point is, the Mishnah says it had to be the Lashon HaKodesh. And that's the point, is that it had to be the Lashon HaKodesh.
Yeah, because it was.
No, I mean, I didn't.
It was a one-time event. It happened in a time where the Torah is speaking about it. The Torah is obviously written in the Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, it needed to be in Lashon HaKodesh.
No, that's not what the Mishnah is telling you. That isn't true.
I know, but I'm wondering why.
Why did they think that?
Why did the Mishnah say that if it was more of a historical point?
Well, the Mishnah's point, I mean, there's two different questions here. One question is, why is the Mishnah saying what it's saying? The Mishnah saying what it's saying is to tell us that what you're saying is not true. It wasn't just that it happened to the Lashon HaKodesh, it was that it had to. Now, the question you're asking, I think, is, and how do we know? There's two other questions you get. One, how do we know that? And also, two, so,
why are we going to get
why? So you're just telling us like a halacha about a historical thing that happened that will never happen again?
And if it does happen.
How we know that could be answered if what Ike is saying is true. Because then it's a chiddush that this was in Hebrew.
It could be right.
If I was saying it's true that the, right. But that's only if you assume that the if you
right. So we need that one thing, right? I mean, the Rosh is right.
Choice was Egyptian. Not even that.
What?
Meaning you could assume. Why did it have to be that way? Because it was. Meaning, of course.
No, because it was halacha. It had to be that way. Right, even if you knew all other languages,
how do you know it's halacha that has to be that way?
That's the question I'm saying. That's what's the marker for? It's the I think Mark quotes it in Sotah. But the Gemara does quote the Makkah for it. But either way, the just to come back to Harbizim to Rashi here. So Rashi says that I would have thought that based on Shvuas Harbizim Har'eva, which had to be Lashon HaKodesh, that what was therefore the Havina, and Havina was Shvuah requires Lashon HaKodesh. That was the Havina of the Gemara. And how do we know that it's not true then that it needs Lashon HaKodesh, Shvuas Eidah, Shvuas Vekadon? Because we have these particular psukim. Where are they? One second. The Gemara is on Lamed Aleph, is that correct? No, that's the mission, right? Lamed Gimel, right. So the Gemara had said that Shuas Eidus Tichziv V'nefesh Ki Sechata V'shama Kol Allah V'cholashun Shishamah. So it's a particular drasha with regard to that. Shuas V'kadon because Techta is Shuas Eidus. So the Rashi Altar says, what was the Havina? Why would I thought otherwise? And so Rashi says the Elo cuts of Krah Ikel Memar to be in Dumi Dishuas Hargrizim V'Harayev Al Shu B'Lashon HaKodesh. Well, why would I think that? Because Shvuah requires Lashon HaKodesh. That was obviously the Havina. Tosfos disagrees with this. Tosfos thinks that it doesn't make any sense. He says Nir Lefarish Elav Krah Havamina Nelav Kol Mimoshe. There's another context that requires it happens to be that the Shvuas Eidos says Kol, and therefore I could have incorrectly assumed, not based on the fact that it's a Shvuah, but rather based on the fact that it says kol, maybe I could make a zirkasu, a hekish, or a zirkasu rather to another context, just sort of negate the possible misunderstanding, not that based on it being a shua, but based on it happening, we're calling it, that's why I may have thought that maybe it would be b'loshon kodesh, so just to negate that possibility, that's why we have the pasuk telling us, first, the initial thought was right. You don't make that drasha, that hekesh, that gzereshova rather, from the context of lashon kodesh. Yeah.
If you give the source or gzereshova, what kind of problem
is that? That's a broader question. Yeah. Well, so that's a broader question. Yeah. I mean, that gets into that question, but I'm not sure. It's still, it's a broader question. I'll just leave it at that. So he says, so that's number one. Then he says, also again, this nearer the hugzir shovel lav dafka naka, meaning, the natural question that it leads to is, okay, so then why should we be gadon, which doesn't have coal? So he says, nearer the hugzir shovel lav dafka naka, hacha, the meheka tesi, it's a sheetish, right? Meheka tesi that should be watching a kodesh. Right, given that he doesn't believe there is this sort of background assumption that could have that Shua might require Lashon Kodesh, it doesn't make any sense to think that Shua Zbikadon requires a pasuk to tell you that it's Lashon Kol Mechatesi. It should have been otherwise. So that it needs to be lobbed out for the Gemara. Right? That's what they say. Lobbed out. Now, if you take Tosla's approach, obviously this Rashi doesn't make any sense. Right, I mean, this Rosh was saying that was a Havmina, you know? Right? Why would I have thought the Rebbe Gash is right? Because Shvuz of the Anim is an example of a Shvua where we don't have a Pasuk telling us an exception. Right? So that obviously is assuming that Tosas is not correct. Because according to Tosas, there was never such a Havmina. You don't need a Pasuk, there's never such a Havmina. According to Rashi, it's a possibility. The question for Rashi, right? Rashi said this was the Havmina, the question is what's the Maskana? The Gemara in the end, in the Maskana, telling you, there is no connection between Shvua and Lashon HaKodesh? Or perhaps not. It's saying that may be a general principle, perhaps. But either way, here, the Pasuk specifically tells you it's Lashon Kol. I think there's a good reason to think the second, which is that even once we have Shvua's Eidus that is Lashon Kol, the Gemara still required the Gzer Shava for Shvua's Begadur. Had we said that the Kamash Malon, the Pasuk is, don't think that Shvua's hard reason is a model of Shvua that means it requires Lashon HaKodesh. Don't think that. Right? This is what Shvua's Eidus tells you that regarding Shvua's Eidus, just to let you know, to puncture the Havmina what that we had thought. Maybe Shvua requires Lashon HaKodesh. So then, subsequent to that, you don't necessarily need a specific drasha regarding Shvua's Begadur. The Gemara does seek one. The Gemara thinks that even after I know Shvua's Eidus is Lashon Kol, okay, but maybe Shvua's Begadur won't be. Maybe Shvua's Begadur needs Lashon HaKodesh, and the answer to that, the Gemara says, is a Gzeir Shava. So this is where the Rosh was coming from. In explaining the Rebbe Gash, is that from the Gemara, it sounds like you have these two exceptions, but otherwise, Shvua requires Lashon HaKodesh. The question is, right, the Rosh in the end himself only rejects it because of the Lamates. And even just the language of this Gemara. Elosh ain aloshon mochiach kain the amar af the mashma af he kishar kol shua shaninu sham the hangish was a edus or to be cut on is an interesting point, right? It says af, so even though you could argue, well, maybe it's just you got to list the rest of the Mishnah and then have the af. He's saying it's not af. He sounds like it's being motive on something which is similar to it. Af he meaning shvuas hadayanin af he as opposed. So what's the sort of playing off of, it's talking the other things which are shvuas. So he just thinks the language sort of doesn't sound like that. But the question is, obviously that itself is not a dispositive point. The question is this viable to say, right, to take the approach that Rashba felt, you know, was had some pull for the Rashba, is that really viable? In particular, the question is it really viable to say that shvuas bitui? Because according to this, it's not just Shvuas Adonim, it's also Shvuas Bitui. Is it really viable to say that Shvuas Bitui requires Lashon HaKodesh? Is that consistent with what we find in Shas? From the Rashba itself, you would think, it sounds like almost he's saying yes. Because he doesn't tell you, Ella, you can't say this because there's explicit in Shas, that, you know, four different places that you need, that it works Lashon HaKodesh. He says, only because I don't think, even regarding Shvuas Adonim, I think it sounds like Lashon HaKodesh. So is it, but is in fact, is that true, that it's consistent with what we find in Shas? So Men Rishonim and Gaonim are quite explicit that it is not true. It needs to be B'chol Lashon in the context of a couple of sugyas. But actually, first, the Or Zeruah and the Gaon argue actually Misvara, that it can't be. The, right? Not the Or Zeruah, I should really put it in. It's the Riva. And I think it might be the Riva, the first Baal Tosfos. I'm not 100% sure. I don't recall if the Riva was also Rav Yitzchak Ben Avram. There's another Yitzchak Ben Avram who was the Yorush Mekomo of the Ri, another, you know, Rav Yitzchak. The Yorush Mekomo was the Ritzva. He's the brother of the Rosh Mashanas. And soon after, really his brother sort of eclipsed him. I don't know if that's as a result of he's not living long, or he just eclipsed him. But the Ritzva Ben Avram, brother of the Rosh, is in precisely in order to distinguish him from the Ri, and not even the Riva, but just even the Ri. So he's called the Ritzba. So I don't know if the Yirmigash is referring to the Ritzba here, or is it an earlier? Is it the earlier one? You know, the one that prior to Rintam, I'm not sure. Either way, let's just call him the Riva. The Riva brings the argument that is already implicit in Tosos, or not already, that is that foreshadows the argument in Tosos and Sota, which is that we have a pretty good, compelling argument to say this isn't so, that it can't be that Shua requires Lashon HaKodesh from Sota, right? From Shua Sota. Because there is the greatest, or the most likely candidate for any Shua to require Lashon HaKodesh. Why? Can you see what he says? That's not the argument they make. Minayin lanu lomo misota she'afa pi sheksuva b'torah, meaning there's a text, right? Most of the things that require Lashon HaKodesh in the Mishnah have text, not all of them, but most of them have text in the Torah, which is, if we're doing that topic just per se, that would be something we can, you know, element is that Lashon HaKodesh is not, for many of those, it's likely not just a, it's not a din of Lashon HaKodesh, it's a din, you have to say the Torah, but the text of the Torah, and the Torah is written in Lashon HaKodesh, that's what it means, right? And for many, that's quite possibly the explanation, not for all, because some of them don't have text, but Shua Sota does, and Ava Bifin, even the Torah says, hear what you say, but Ava Bifin doesn't need to be the Lashon HaKodesh, so if the Torah doesn't say, and hear the words that you say, so Kol Shekin, right, that it doesn't need to be Lashon HaKodesh. That's the argument that they made. Right? Sha'av bishik suva b'torah, sh'ninu v'edin marm b'chol Lashon. So that is, you know, all the more so with regard to something which doesn't have a text. Okay, so that argument makes sense, but it's obviously, I think, not dispositive. I mean, it's quite possible to say that isn't the case. That, you know, that's true about Sota, but with regard to other things, that isn't the case. Question is, again, is there a rayas? And here you have, as I say, two major sugyas, which I think, in which Rishonim say that clearly you need to have, and the sugyas tell you clearly, you need, that it can be b'chol Lashon. Number one is the sugya regarding kinuyin. Right? The Mishnah says, kinuyin neder kineder, kinuyin shvua kishvua. And what are these kinuyim? So Rabbi Yochanan says that these are Lashon Homos. Right? Lashon Homos, meaning these are foreign languages. These are the words for neder and the word for shua in other languages. Lashon Homos. So therefore, Mishnah Shlema Shanino, right? Of course, you know for a fact that it isn't true that you need Lashon HaKodesh because that's the din of Kinuyim. Kinuyim are other languages. Lufi Rav Yochanan, right? So that's the number one context in which it comes up. Now here, it seems clear that the path for the Rimigash on this view, if you wanted to claim otherwise, that it's the whole, that Shuvah Bita 2 does not require, Shuvah Bita 2 requires Lashon HaKodesh, path is clear, that this Rai is in Mukha. And the reason for that is because it's possible to interpret the Kinuyin Lefir of Yochanan, Lashon Homos, differently. There's another interpretation which is shown in which, of what these Kinuyim are, Lefir of Yochanan, at least, according to which it's at least possible to avoid that. The conclusion that it's Chal B'Lashon Kol. the seeds of this alternative interpretation really begin with the question that faced those who held the first interpretation, that this is that these kinuim are simply foreign words in other languages. What was the question that were brought up? Like, if the kinuim are non-Hebrew words for neder and shua, and the point of the din is that you don't need to say Lashon HaKodesh, any language works, right? If that's all that Mishnah is telling you, so then why is Mishnah listing particular words? These words work. Shvusa, shvuka, right? Why do we start listing particular words? Just to say any language, whatever word. I mean, are we doing just a language exploration here? You're just, these are the, any language, let me give you some examples. What is that, right? Yeah?
I mean, it sounds like the way that the Rambam presents it, it is just listing, so like the Alagim use this word as a...
Well, we'll come back to that. It's a different interpretation.
But I'm saying...
We're talking about Ilgin, that's a different interpretation. We'll come back to that. The Gemara doesn't say anything about it. And probably the reason that Rishon, we're discussing right now, is some Rishon felt that was likely, was because of this issue. Namely, why these words, if we're just saying it's foreign languages? I mean,
unless those
were... why are we giving examples? Like,
unless those were the words at the time that were...
So what Asher is saying is what the Rafa says. Rafa was not impressed by this question. Right, the Rashba thought, and I gave it to you also in the Shitik Betis, in the name of the Ranbi, that the Rashba was not impressed by this question. He thought, all right, it's just the Tana was just listing words in other languages he's familiar with. That's all. He just didn't think the question was all that imposing. But others shouldn't be bothered by that. Either they didn't think it was plausible, that these are the only ones, or who knows. Right, they didn't think that was plausible. They were very bothered by if this is true that it just means b'chalashon. So, what are the words that we're listening? Why does the mission just tell us these are good? Shvuka, shvusa, just say whatever word in whatever language means shvuka. That works. So the Tosafot are bothered by this, and they gave a different answer, which is not pasha. What was their answer? Do you remember? Yeah,
the words that were given that were listed were chal even if you don't understand.
Yes, there were two different dinim in foreign words. There's foreign words stam, right? That means shvua neder. That's one thing. Then there are these words. That's why the Mishnah is highlighting them. They actually have a different, and they're actually different. It's a different din. The din of these particular foreign words is that they're chal even if you don't understand, even if eno maybe. So this is, as I say, not pasha. The assumption that, presumably, although they don't say, is that the reason these words are different is because, says the Meiri, you saw the Meiri, right? Because they're carved with Lashon HaKodesh. They resemble Lashon HaKodesh, so they have a skula over these other words. But the fundamental difficulty with this suggestion, it's precisely what the Meiri points out, is, but how can you have that such a din? If what we mean is that the Nishba knows what the foreign word means, that it means Shua, right? So then, that's being made in the Lashon he's saying, and then it'll work, it'll be effective in whatever language it is. And if what we're saying when you say that Eino Mevin means that he doesn't, right, he doesn't know what the word means, so then even if it's in Hebrew, it won't work, because there's a din b'shvua that they have to have people go shopping. He's got to be understanding what he's saying. So there's no room for this concept of Eino Mevin Lashon in shvua. If he doesn't know what he's saying, then he's not intending to take a shvua. So then, that forget these words that are karov the Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh doesn't work like that either. It's a very significant problem. Yeah.
So this formulation is like, it's like very reminiscent of the Gemara Megillah about like achashtrim ne'aram achim. Like,
correct.
Objective words that we never understand.
Well,
somehow.
Yes, I mean also there are other various problems where Lashon HaKodesh you don't have to understand either, right? But the problem is in this, so that may make sense in other contexts in Halacha, but in the context of Afla, of Neder Veshvua, we have a din. You need people libo shavim. It doesn't work. Those things don't fly here. It doesn't work if you don't know what you're saying, right? So that's a very significant issue. One wonders, this requires analysis of people libo shavim. One wonders if there's not an interesting chiluk, which is maybe being suggested here, between, according to Tosafot, between somebody knowing how to say a neder, how to speak another language, to say something in another language, versus somebody who's told that this sound is the equivalent of neder and shua, is the equivalent of neder and shua in another language. Is it possible that if I just look at, say, you tell me shkuka is the word for, you tell me that brababa is the word for neder in Akkadian, totally made up. Akkadian is a real language, I don't know. But let's say you tell me that, so does that mean that I'm maybe in the lashon? Maybe you could, I mean, normally I think we'd think, yeah, you just found out what that word means. Or maybe you might say, you know what, it's not an organic usage of it. You're just, I mean, it's not like you know the words and you're familiar with the language. You just know that this sound, is. They tell you this, maybe. Maybe that's considered to be an inu maybe in halashon, but it is, right? But it is pivli yoshavin. Maybe I don't know. Just an interesting idea. Sometimes you get the sense of like, oh, that's the word for that. It doesn't really mean you're maybe in halashon. You just heard it. That's what the sound is. How do I say it like this? All right? It's like, you know, you can pick up on some of the things it says in the jitney, right? Toto asinito kuparo permino paka besaka bledo. Which, so I'm told what that means is that any child that sits in a seat must pay a full fare. Now, am I made in a lashon? I don't know.
You also got the accent.
What? I got the accent? Yeah. My father's fluent in Spanish. But every time I say this to him, he kind of laughs. I think I don't say it right. But either way, you know, so I see that that's what it said, that's what it means, but am I made in a lashon? So anyway, it's an interesting question. It's not at all an obvious suggestion that this is, you know, this makes sense. It's also unclear, you know, even let's assume that there is this space where it is in a problem for people to push up mature in a maven, you're considered in a maven alashon. How is the mission teaching you that? I mean, so it gives you these examples which actually have a different din in the klal. Strange, yeah.
I don't think you said that because it's not the exact parallel, but just the case you mentioned.
I mean, each case, each halakha of dibur has its own halakha.
Right, but I'm saying, let's say you have a person who, let's say, didn't know a word of French, and then was taught every word of the Megillah in French, but still didn't know, maybe that would also be called...
Right, so that's what I'm wondering. Is that if I'm sort of taught ad hoc, that, you know, these aren't words to you yet, they're just sounds to you, because you don't know the language.
Right.
So maybe that would be considered, you know, maybe in halashon, I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I guess more specifically to our topic, Hatar Sandaram and Kol Nidre. Does that need to be, Kol Nidre, especially?
Well, that requires getting into Kol Nidre. What is Kol Nidre? Well, let's assume it's like a Hatar Sandaram.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then it could be, any Lush. It doesn't have to be.
Hatar Sandaram should be, that I'm not sure about.
I think in Hatar Sandaram, there's a Lush that you need to know what you're saying, therefore you really.
Well, you're talking about the Basin or the.
Both.
Yeah, you still need to know what you're saying.
What are you saying in Hebrew?
What?
Whatever.
I don't think it's Menadim. I mean, I just think that's...
The whole thing, was saying it three times.
Some other questions also. Actually, I didn't even mention it. Why does the Nusach say, B'shemosh Shein M'chav?
Correct.
According to nearly everybody except for that sheet that Muqtaz in the Bach, maybe they're in God. I can create a halakha of shua. I create b'ani kadim. It's even without shame. Even the Rambam who says you need shame. Everybody seems to agree that there is such a halakha, and nonetheless you can answer as we spent some time. You can answer without shame. So why is it say shame shouldn't have covered? Unless it means that even if it's a shame shouldn't have covered, am I asking for you to be matir? Because that's a machlokas in Rishonim whether or not you can be matir shua b'shame. I'm not sure. I don't know. But separate from that, that's just, you know, there are a lot of things like that where, you know, why do we say bitul chamim? Why do we say the bitul in Aramaic? There's something you need to say in Aramaic. You should say it. You have a chalashon shemayim. If you want to say the din, but I don't think it's such a main other design. But in any event, that's the Tosa's answer. You can understand why other Rishonim were very bothered by this, and therefore they took Rabbi Yochanan's kinuyin to mean something else. They gave an alternative interpretation. What are these kinuyin? These aren't foreign words, but lashon yogin, mangled forms of the Hebrew. Shibushe lashon hakodesh. Right? These are the isn't becomes ain't. Right? Shvua, shusa, right? Became shvusa. These are mangled forms of the Hebrew. And it's, you know, this just seems quite likely, despite the not only the question is very good, which is why these words and why are we talking about good examples, but also just it happens to be that all these things are very close. Shvusa, shvuka, shkuka, sounds like shvua, right? Cherek, 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 sounds like cherek. Nazik, Naziach, sounds like Nazir. So what they're arguing is it's not a coincidence. It's not just that these, I mean, it wouldn't have to be a coincidence even if there were other languages, because you can have languages that are related, or Semitic languages are all related in some sense, in which case you can have words that sound like one another. But nonetheless, these, what these are sort of saying, these are just mangled forms of the Hebrew. What does Lashon HaUmos mean? So here you have two Perushim and Rishonim who say this. One is what the Ron quotes the name of Rabbi Huda ben Chasdai. These are the Umos' ill-fated attempt to say the relevant Hebrew words. This is, you know, chutzpah becomes chutzpah. This is their chutzpah. Shvuta was the way they said shvua. They couldn't quite get the ayin out. So that's what Lashon HaUmos means. Why are we saying Lashon HaUmos? It's the main, where these came from, the mangled form of the Hebrew was what the Umos Olam are trying to, you know, they're trying to say the Hebrew words, and this is what they came up with. The Meiri gives a different explanation, you saw, right? The Meiri says, what does Lashon HaUmos mean? Umos milashon amaretz, in the sense of amaretz. Right? Umos doesn't mean foreign. It means the amaretz, the amaretzim, right? The stam people.
Like slang.
What?
It's like slang.
Yeah, it's, but the Lashon HaUmos means the Lashon of amaretzim. These are unknowledgeable, inarticulate Jews who, you know, for them, who knows how it started, but it became Shvusa, just became the way they said Shvusa. Okay? But they're Shibush et Lashon HaKodesh. Now, even if you interpret it this way, you can still argue, as the Ron does, the Ron actually goes even further, not only that the din is true that it's Kol Lashon, but actually it follows. The Ron argues it follows that Lashon Chol also works for Shua and Eder. Right? What was the argument he gave? And he says it's a kosher pain. He says the argument he gives is that the reason Shibush Lashon HaKodesh work is because we know what they mean. You know what this is what they came to use in place of Shua and Neder. So in as much as what's crucial here is, right, and this is a general linguistic point, that this is what they say to mean that. That's the crucial point. That's why Shibush Lashon HaKodesh works. So then Koshkin, if it's a proper word, it's proper English, right? Proper Aramaic, or whatever you know language you want to throw in there. The proper word, of course, will work, right? The Chiddush is even language, even terms that are within their native context, not really proper terms for Shvua, Neder, etc. And we're giving an example of Shibush Lashon HaKodesh. Those two work. Kosher gain, right, does Neder Shvua. That's the Ron's argument. However, it's possible, it's quite possible that one could, let's say the Rinagash, and I would think maybe even the Rashba, because again, the Rashba doesn't say, well, I can't say this though, because we know from a Mishnah and Darn that it isn't true. It doesn't say that. So it's possible that one could argue, no. What Lashon HaUmos means, what these Diyam Kinyanim are Shibushi Lashon HaKodesh, but it's Dafka Shibushi Lashon HaKodesh. The reason they work is not because we know what they mean, it's because they work as Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, so mangled or not, these are versions of the Hebrew word Neder and Shvua. So they work. And the Chiddush is, it doesn't have to be said properly. But nonetheless, it has to be those words that are being said. It has to be Lashon HaKodesh. Foreign words are out. And it's quite possible that this is exactly what Rabbi Avraham in a Har held. Right? It's possible that this is how he should understood in a second. Right? If you notice, Rabbi Avraham in a Har says Lashon Goyim, Zendav Yud and Darim, Here should be in Shlomo, Vatora Asra Kolashon. That's the shot of, let's say, the Rashba, right? Just straight, right? Or maybe the Ron, but it sounds like just Lashon Goyim means Kolashon, right? Then he says that Ikar Perish Kafu. So he's disagreeing. Ryokan Lashon Goyim, Klomar Isir Pinu, and Eno Ela of Nesha, Hain Lashon Goyim, Sheyesh Anashim Ilgin, Shekorinka. Meaning these are, it sounds like, what non Jews, who are inarticulate and therefore not able to say the Hebrew, right? This is chutzpah, right? In an asur ne'el b'makom shedarkan lithos v'lo markah. So it is compelling, I think, to argue what he's saying. He's disagreeing with the implication of the perush of Rashi. Rashi says asur v'chol lashon. He's saying no. The ikar perush is not that. The ikar perush is these are mangled forms of Hebrew, and it sounds like he's saying it like Rav Yehuda ben Chasdai was saying it, namely. These are other nations' attempts at our Hebrew words. They work only because this is how they say the Hebrew word. And therefore, and what's the not communally in Hadin? Why is it bothering to go through this? What Rashi said isn't true. It's not Kolosh. That's possibly how you can understand Rabbi Avraham and Rambam. Otherwise, it's not entirely clear where his disagreement comes. Also, it's not clear why should be b'makom shadarshon lit os. Why lit os? Right? If it's true that the word works, right? Any language works. So it's it sounds like the point is that it has to be that it's the mangled Hebrew, therefore it works. Yeah,
it seems from that sheet that the strength of the word is still based on intention and not based just an intention to say a Hebrew word, but not on the status of the word itself.
What do you mean?
Because if you could be
Shvuk is not a Hebrew word.
Shvuk is not. I mean,
I think that's part of what they're arguing. These Rishonim is that it in the end becomes a Hebrew word.
Because it becomes a Hebrew word, or your intention is to say Hebrew and therefore can't.
If that were the argument, I think if. But the point is, take it back. If it were, I mean, are you arguing on the position that holds that whatever foreign words that aren't Hebrew words work?
But I mean, the reason I asked the question is because it seems like those would blend at a certain point. Meaning, if the whole strength of it is because you're trying to say Hebrew word and this becomes the word you're trying to say in Hebrew,
it's a version. My language was the version of the Hebrew word.
But it's only a version of the word because that's your intention. Meaning, if I try to say Shavua and I say blah 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 blah.
No, I don't think it's only your intention. I think this is a general thing about it's how it came about. It's the start. It was a term that was used by people trying to say the Hebrew word.
Correct.
But the and therefore of, that's their version of that Hebrew word.
But it's not a Hebrew word. Meaning, but it only is there. It only counts as Hebrew word because that's their intention, though. Meaning, if they
because of the historical history. Unfolding of how it came about that it was said. Even what does it mean if that's their intention? Let me say it differently. If we just come up with a modern
Hebrew word that's not Lashon HaKodesh.
I was going to say, is modern Hebrew considered Lashon HaKodesh?
That's an interesting question.
I'm saying, but according to what we're saying, historically, it became a Hebrew word.
So it could depend on the origins of it. I think
it's not necessarily tied to the direct origin of the real word.
Maybe not. Okay. Maybe that I'm saying here it is. Yeah. The point is here it is, and this is just what they were trying to say.
Yeah.
Right.
My point is though, it's still.
You might say it this way: it's not good. It's not good Hebrew, but it's Hebrew. Ain't. It's not good English, but if you ask me what language you speak, when he says that ain't me, he's speaking English. So if you say what the person's saying is. Shvuka Shaina, he's speaking Hebrew, poor Hebrew, but it's Hebrew.
But if we're going to learn it again from
Right, that doesn't mean that it's not just a function of because he intends to be saying it. Because I mean, depending on how this comes about, maybe somebody in China decides he wants to start speaking Hebrew, and he just has words that have no relation to them, other than his intent is to. So then we wouldn't necessarily judge that. It would depend on what.
Why? Where do you draw that? Why is that line drawn? Meaning, the goal
because,
is for the
because,
word.
Because so I'm saying there. Two different questions. I mean, you're asking me like, what exactly would be the parameters where I go on and stuff? That I don't know if I can provide the answer to that. But just as in terms of giving you a sense of one, in one case, this was people attempting the first of all, it was an organic Hebrew-speaking people, right? That attempted to, or in the case of Lashon HaEmunah, we assume that it's not Hebrew-speaking people. These are people that are attempting to use the word, the Hebrew word. And they slightly mangled it, and that mangled form though became what people said when they were trying to say the Hebrew word.
So the fact that they
were trying to say the Hebrew word is a component of what happened here, but it's not the only thing which is required in order for it to have become the Hebrew word, to become a Hebrew word. What's required, let's say, might be a certain phonetic similarity. It could also be, as I said, the history. I mean, it started out organically. These are people saying your word and became something which is, now that's the way they say it. So if just anybody, someone says, in China, just tries on his own to come up with the Hebrew words, they don't sound anything like it, and nobody else says it, that wouldn't work. Right? So it's a question you can ask. I'm just saying, I don't know exactly what, if you give me like quantified, if I can give like quantified numbers, but I think part of it would be the phonetic similarity. Again, you can ask, well, what exactly has to be? Are there a certain number of consonants that have to be same? Is it good questions to ask? And I don't know the answers. I'm saying the principle though might be you need some sort of phonetic similarity, and it needs to have arisen as an attempt. I mean, these will be related, right? I mean, if it's a finite, it has to be an attempt to say the word. I mean, it's hard to say there's an attempt to say the word if it sounds nothing like a word. So it needs to be phonetic similarity. It needs to be that it was an intent not as in producing a new language, but rather simply saying that Hebrew word. And then it's become just the accepted way of saying that Hebrew word. Again, I think ink is a really good example. It's certainly English. It's just not good English, but it's certainly English, right? You wouldn't say, and it's not like you would say, well, you know, if you say...
Shakespearean.
I don't know. Zello, you know, it's not the same. That's not English for... Whereas ink is, right?
But if we're going to learn everything out from Brochus and Klalos, and we're going to learn everything out from Sota, which is all text-based, so then shouldn't everything need to be text-based?
What do you mean by text-based?
Like, the Lashon is within the Torah.
It doesn't have...
Well, there's no Lashon here.
So then biblical... Then biblical need to go.
So I'm saying these are ways of saying the biblical Hebrew, I think.
Slang.
Yeah. It's a mangled. The best way to put it is it's a mangled form of biblical Hebrew. It's not. It's itself is not in the Bible because the mangling hadn't come yet, but it just became right. Okay. So these are interesting linguistic questions, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. But the point is that that's one possibility. So maybe that would be what the Rimagash would, if this is how he was understanding it, right? Like the Rashba projected, he was inclined to think that, inclined to side with the Rimagash based on this. This is maybe how you would deal with this Gemara, this mission of this Gemara. There is one other potential raya, namely, and this features very prominently in the Rivaz Tshuva, that's cited in the Ozer, it's also cited by the Rashba, verbatim. What was the other Gemara? Ndarim Machat. On the Dharma Pes, right? Mari Kule. Mari Kula de Lotin. Right? So there, right, the question he turns to, eventually he becomes interested in answering, right, was, does that work if it's not B'Lashon HaKodesh? He starts even talking about the shame, right? The shame isn't B'Lashon HaKodesh in that case. Mari Kule is not a shame. In Hebrew, it's Aramaic. Right? So his answer is, you see from the Gemara, this works, right? And we have the Shuvah. This is the Ozer that everybody has access to, right? No?
Couldn't find it.
People don't have it. You couldn't find it?
On Marlon, I didn't find it.
You didn't find the Marlon either?
Yeah.
This is really, It's pointed out, the order here is very similar. Yeah, I got it. All right. He says, Tal Bishal Omar Hashem. So he's talking about shame. Am Bishal Omar Hashem. Afilu Bekinoi B'Lashon HaKodesh. Bekinoi there meant Kinoi as a Kinoi Shem, not a Kinoi Shvua. Afilu Bekinoi B'Lashon HaKodesh. Shvua Hi. Kevach Omar B'Lashon Laz. Afilu Mari Kula Chashiv Shvua. Am Bishal Eino Shem Kval B'Shum Lashon. Kedi Isa B'Perek Dalad in Darn. Gavi Rav Kaham Zemar Mari Kula Lotinula. Okay. So that's what his argument is, and therefore he says, right, he says, Hu Adin B'Lashon Laz. And we see the Lashon Laz he uses for Dio. Yeah. Right, the Greek word where we get, the Odyssey and Deism and all that. Right, Dio is Lashon that works. So that's the other major rival. Here, too, I think it's somewhat compelling, but perhaps not Mukhrach. Number one, I think it's possible. I don't know that anybody says it, but maybe it's possible to say, what the Gemara doesn't say. More than it's than the line you quoted, Marku Lotino. But in fact, in the case that occurred, there was more. In fact, what he said was Ani Nishba Marku Lotino. Right. Just like we saw, Rishonim who said in the opposite cases where you have here you had shame without a lashon of shvua. What about by cases where we have shvua without a lashon of shame? So Rishonim who the Rid. He also wanted to just point out that just because it doesn't say shame is not a riot. What he says is that just because it doesn't say it doesn't mean it wasn't there, right? Just like the Gemara doesn't usually say when it says brachos doesn't usually have the shame of malchus in them. It just says baruch whatever. So here too, it just doesn't say it. So maybe one could argue the Gemara happens not to mention that he says Ani Nishba, but he does in fact say Ani Nishba. This I'm not sure, but this is possibly the intent of the Rush. I don't know. I showed you guys the Rush. You guys looked at the Parashat Rush. Hard to know whether or not he means this, but what he says was, this is in Nedarim. Sorry. At the Rush, in Nedarim Chafez, the Parashat Rush. Anybody see it? Huh? Nobody saw it? So he says, Amarlei lo marakula lo timnul. Klomar lo uchal imcha v'chein ani nishba b'marikula de lo timnul. So two options. Either he's telling you, this is what he says, marikula lo timnul. What he means by that is what I'm telling you. Ani nishba de lo timnul. B'marikula de lo timnul. Or, that's one possibility. The other possibility is, he's telling you, he's adding in the words that are just, the Gemara doesn't bother to tell you, but that were there. Ani nishba b'marikula d'lo tinula. Not sure. This would, by the way, certainly work for the Rama. Right? The Rama, this is one of the major rayos that Rishonim had, that shame on its own is able to create, is effective in creating, a chal shvua. But remember, we saw the Rambam, he was explicit about this, the Rambam didn't agree with that, the Rambam thought that that's not so. Shame on its own does not require, it needs to have Lashon Shvua too. So what do you, so we can discuss this, but what does the Rambam do with a couple of the Gemaras that they mentioned? So I think here, in this case, one possibility is to say, doesn't say Ani Nishba, but there was Ani Nishba, right? And now Ani Nishba is certainly Hebrew. So in that case, this wouldn't be a Raya Mekrachas. I think even if you don't want to... What?
Because the Ani Nishba is Blash Nekodesh, I see.
Yeah.
But the Marikula is not Blash Nekodesh.
Correct. We're going to come back to that in 1 second. Come back to that in 1 second. The assumption is that shame would be fine in Blash Nekodesh, but not sure. And I'll get to that in 1 second. Exactly my next point. After I make this one, which is that even if you think, let's say that don't add words into what was said. No, what was said was what was said. That all he said was Marikula lo tinna. Even if he didn't utter Shua, but I think it's possible, very possible to say, but the reason that works is because it's ki'ilu, you said Ani Nishba, you said the Lashon Shvua, mitam, yad. This is the exact equivalent of what happens for Rishonim in the opposite scenario. They say it explicitly, right? Some Rishonim will tell that you do require shame fundamentally, but even if you don't say it, it's still going to work if you say a Lashon Shvua. Why? Mitam yad. Right? This is the popular explanation for those who held it, right? The Riyaz and the Rid. And they were explaining why, even if you require shame, you didn't necessarily need to articulate it, at least for the purpose of l'habaz. So what they say is mitam yad. So maybe we'll say it works the opposite way too. Shame belishvua, if it's in a certain context where it makes it sound like that's what you're saying. So we'll just fill it in. And what do we fill it in? So you might argue, well, we fill in the words ani nishba. That's kilu. You said ani nishba. Even if you say marikul, no, we don't say whatever the Aramaic equivalent would be, you say Ani Nishba, that's essentially as if you said it. So, whether or not you actually you can claim this is actually what was happened there, or you're going to claim, meaning that he said Ani Nishba, or you're going to claim that even if he didn't, but the reason it works is because we basically inserted Mitam Yad into what he said, either way, you then would have that this Gemara does not involve a case of Shvua B'Lidash and HaKodesh. Now, here, I'm just turning to the point that Binyamin mentions. Both of these, right, whether or not it's Mitam Yad or we're claiming you actually said it, both of these turn on the assumption that even when we say that Shvuot Bidur requires Lashon HaKodesh, that it would be sufficient. I think what we would say is it's dafka the term Shvuah that requires Lashon HaKodesh. And I would say, as opposed to maybe even shame, and as opposed to what doesn't require Lashon HaKodesh is also, you don't need to, the claim that you're making, that you're swearing to, the commitment that you're making, the Lashon commitment, doesn't need to be Lashon HaKodesh either. What needs to be Lashon HaKodesh is the Lashon of Shvua. Now, when it comes to this point, which like that too, in this already brings us to the nature of this, the requirement for Lashon HaKodesh here, but especially if we contrast it with shame, at first glance, this might seem a little puzzling. You know, I would think what would be the thing which requires the original Lashon, you know, what would be the greatest candidate to require the original Lashon if it's not talking about a textbook study? I would think it's a proper name. Proper names are the least likely things to have a an equivalent translation. Not so shy to speak of translating a name, right? Unless you mean translating what the meaning of the that's a lot of from one language to another language, just saying meaning, but it's hard to say. I mean, is Jacob, Yaakov, nobody calls him Jacob, so that's a question. That seems to be somewhat surprising at first, at least, meaning that you say Shvua, that has to be B'Lashon Kodesh, but when you actually say the Rosh Hashanah's name, that can be B'Lashon Kodesh. But I think it's not so surprising if we think about it. Number one, first, we noted with regard to Shane that possibly Zlav Dafka, the Shane that you need, qua Shane, it's more you need to be referring to him. Right? This is what we said, right? The Misha, Asa, Shamay, Ar, it's pointing to the that works. So you don't need to actually say a Shane, you just need to refer to the Rosh Hashanah. And if you use Marikula to refer to the Rosh Hashanah, that's just as good as saying a Shane. So it's not a Shane, it doesn't need to be a Shane. Right? So that's number one. Number two, and here's where we come to the Soda Din of Shua, Lashon HaKodesh for Shua, even if we assume you do need a Shane, but I think it's quite possible to say that, and this is I think what we say a lot though, in various contexts, that the Lashonos HaGoyim, the Lashonos Goyim that they use, what they use for to refer to the Baruch Shalom, that is a Shane. That's just what they call it. This is like, you know, the Baruch Shalom, the Mitkare, he has other people refer to him other ways too. They call him God, they call him Dio, right? These are just shameless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these other languages. But the term Shvua, this is the Chiddush here, and this is where we're getting into why you need the term Shvua is a kind of a proper noun for the particular legal mechanism, the Torah's legal mechanism of Shvua. What I mean by this is that whereas God is, you know, Melo Kol Ha'aretz Kvodo, so in different places, it's Kol Ha'aretz. So in different places of the Aretz, different people, so he's known by different names. Right? You go here, people will call him this. You go there, they call him this, but they're calling him that. They're referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam with a different name. B'Tishava Kol Lashon. Right? Everybody, all languages, swear to me, by the same name, whatever you call me, whatever my name is in that language. Whereas, one could argue, when it comes to Shvua, the actual halachic legal institution of Shvua, that's local to, in a sense, the Torah's legal system. It's a self-defined, self-contained mechanism. And you might say, they may have parallel notions of commitment-making, and they may have their words for that, but is that this? Meaning, when they say, so they mean to say, the question is that invoking the halachic mechanism of Shvua? When an Andrew says, I promise to do this, so you might say, no. That's what they're doing, something like what we have as a halacha of Shua, that's what they're doing, they're trying to make a commitment. Is it actually invoking the halachic? You know, the halachic mechanism? No. There is no, you know, halachic mechanism of Shua that everybody has, you know, access to that they can easily refer to. There's only the Shua, the halachic mechanism of Shua that we have in the Torah, for the Torah's purposes, I'm saying. You need to use, therefore, the local term, the term the Torah uses for it, if you want to use that mechanism, right? And therefore, you need to use sort of the names, the proper names that the Torah gives for using it. You guys want to follow what I'm saying? In other words, it's one thing to say, I'm making a commitment, but that's not a legal of taking a Shvua. So it may be that the legal, they have words that are equivalent to Shvua, and they clearly do, I hereby take an oath. It's clearly equivalent to Shvua, but we might say that's not the legal mechanism, though. They're not referring to the legal mechanism that the Torah has for Shvua. If they want to do that, they got to use the Torah has for Shvua. Right? And the truth is, certain words work in Hebrew, certain words don't. You know, is it so obvious that an oath means Shvua and not Neder? Right? These are proper names for taking legal mechanisms that have their own distinct character and qualities. It may be you just can't do that. There is no, you know, way for them to refer to our institution unless they use the words that the Torah has for them. So therefore, that's the reason I would argue, maybe, right, that the reason you need Lashon HaKodesh for a Shvua, on this view of it, is because there's no other way to refer to this legal mechanism. There's no way to invoke it, yeah.
Those who view Reveal Finance Communion as not attempting to say the Lashon Shvua, but its own, as really mamish just the Lashon Goyim, would they be able to not read?
That's the exact opposite sheet of than what I'm trying to explain.
Well, you're trying to explain...
I'm trying to explain that requires Lashon
Kodesh. Even for the Shvua, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I'm trying to... Right, the Rashi says, you know, this is, I would have accepted the Rima Gash and understood it, that it's a general point of Shvua, but for, I just don't think it works so well. So I'm working with that understanding of the Rima Gash, trying to flesh it out, and now we're coming to really an explanation of it, which is, I'm arguing, it's not just a din that you need to say Shvua, just happens to have a din of Shvua's our reason, it needs to be blessed. It's the point is, there's no other way to say, to invoke the legal mechanism of the Torah's committed in making legal mechanism. You can say things which indicate you want to really, you know, but to have a legal force, you might say, you need to refer to our legal mechanism, that you're implementing our legal mechanism. And there's no way to do that unless you use our name for it, the Torah's name for it. Or the Torah's lashon for it.
What if you said the oath described in the Torah in Pasuk?
In the Bible, and yeah. So that, look, that... You know, so you could say you're very close to... But you get the point. You're right. But my argument is that... Okay, so instead of accepting that, Torah said, just call by its name. Right? But, yeah.
That's what God is used nowadays. Like, that, you know, that basketball player is godly, or like, this food is godly. So we see even the term God isn't always used to refer to it. God, it's pretty.
I think it is referring to God. They're trying to, by analogy, say it's like God.
I guess so.
Which is weird thing to say. Really weird. But yeah.
If
yeah. And then Larry Bird had a comment about Michael Jordan without playing basketball. Yeah. I don't know about his religion, but certainly that religion is where we come from. Yeah.
We're talking about shame before, so that shame could just be. Other people refer to it as Kadosh Baruch Hu. This assumption is that this is just a neutral term for God, but if there was a hashkafic or philosophical angle to, like, let's say, you know, you said Allah or you said that wouldn't work, because that has...
Why?
Because that's not referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's referring to a God who then chose a different people, or a God whose Torah is different.
Yeah,
or
it is an interesting question. It's a question about shameless in general, about names, proper names in general. It's in philosophical circles, something which is it's a long but relatively recent history. I recommend reading Socrates' Naming and Necessity, which is kind of... But there was this theory of a name as sort of just a short way of describing it. You know, what is, let's say, Aristotle? Aristotle's a short way of saying the guy who lived and who wrote the following work. That's generally not accepted. Kripke pointed out there's a lot of good reasons to reject that understanding of shameless. That was Bertrand Russell's understanding of shameless. Of proper names. Rather, these are things which are fixed by historical circumstances. These are just ways to refer. They're sort of what they call a designator, rigid designator. They're fixed to these things. So Aristotle could have done something else, right? It still would have been Aristotle. Right? Another few, you know, ways that this makes sense, the way we use proper names, that wouldn't. It almost doesn't make sense. If you say it's just a short way of saying, oh, wait, I don't want to be in the whole book, but... the answer to that question is, if you're talking about, let's say, Muslim use of the word Allah, they are referring to the Muslim, and that's Allah. That refers to the Muslim.
There are implications that come up that you wouldn't necessarily agree to. If you're saying God, that can mean anything.
That's a disagreement about what God did. It's not a disagreement, though, about who we're referring to. I don't think God ever did that. That's just the way I would say, you know, he thinks that Sam told you to, you know, Chaim says Sam told, you know, Chaim thinks that, every senior told him, you know, we're going to get the cougar card tomorrow, right? And he never. And I think it never happened. We're not saying, well, therefore, when we say every senior, we mean different people, because you're referring to the one who gave you cougar cards. I don't think that one exists. I'm referring to the one who didn't. You're saying, no, this is part of the reason why, right? We're both referring to that person, right, that we call every senior, right? And the question is only about whether what they saw or both. So that's...
There are different beliefs about it, though, meaning if it's, you say, if you believe God is a totem pole. So when you say God,
correct. So that's an interesting question. Correct. So the Ramaz, the Rama has an answer to that question. What would you need to be? What would we need in order for it to be considered referring to God, to Ramashal? So the Rama says, "The Misham Shasa Shemayim Baaretz," correctly. if the kavanas and the mishra asa shemayim v'aretz, so then that would be sufficient. Then they can make mistakes about what that person did, but he's referring to that person. All the more so, I mean, as my understanding is that you know these other you know the other Abrahamic religions are referring to the God who took us out of Mitzrayim. I think it all comes out there, right? So that agent is what they refer to. Now they say he did all the other things, which he never did, right? But that's a disagreement not about who we're referring to, but just about. But you're right. The question is at what point if it's just. But if he thinks of it him as a totem pole, so that is a good question. That's an excellent question. That's an interesting area of philosophical, and it could have a lot of significance as well. Absolutely, it can have a lot of significance. When does it become a Bodhisattva?
So how far would you go? Then you say like the Trinity or Xenu or whatever, like.
The Ramo was actually talking about Christianity. It was his understanding of Tosos, which is clearly not what Tosos had in mind. This is a long topic about, but that Tosos, that Ainu Mizar Mal. But the Ramo says that when they say God, they refer to Misha Asa Shemayvar. Now, the Trinity, the Trinity part of it, they think he's triune. I don't know in what sense they do, but the Ramo's point was. I'm not an expert in Christian theology. I do believe there are different understandings of it. Not that I think any of them are that understandable. But as far as I know, maybe they even think whatever. However you understand it. But when they say God, when they use that term, the Ramah says they're referring to the Ramah. B'misha asa shemayim v'aretz, and B'misha, I don't think he says it, but B'misha hotzi osanu min Mitzrayim. They're referring to him. Then they think these other things are darn true about him. But there are referring to him. Again, these are, the kind of questions that you're asking are, the lungus of proper names in philosophical analysis, naming and necessity. Wait, did I say his work is naming and necessity? Yes, naming and necessity was his work. There are other works that are also really good. But it's an interesting book. You could read it. It sort of started this field anew. But the questions you're asking are all of them come. I don't know what the. I'm just the Ramah happens to give it a. If it's B'misha Asa Shemayim V'aretz, then now it's yes. But what if I think B'misha Asa Shemayim V'aretz is a totem pole? Right? So then already you get into questions. But, okay. How much have we gone so far? Yeah, why don't we stop here? Just to summarize what we've done so far, basically what we've done so far is. Try to understand the Rimi Gash, really, held that it's B'Lashon HaKodesh, so just understanding his Shita. So the first approach that we've taken is the one which is explicitly invoked by the Rashba as what he was willing to think it made sense, and he was really going to say, like the Rimi Gash, which is that his interpretation of the Rimi Gash, which is that it's not a Din Dafka Shosatanim, this is Din Chol Shvua, requires Lashon HaKodesh, with the exceptions of those that have Sukkim telling you otherwise in Sota, Shvus Megan, Shvus Edish, Shvus Sota, but other than that, Shvua in general requires Lashon HaKodesh. So here we discussed how that whether or not in the context of Shvus Bitui, whether or not that's consistent with what we find in various Sugyos and Shas. We discussed the Sugyos and Shas, which other Rishonim, when they say that it clearly works with a Lashon, that they refer to as showing that. We discussed the various ways that you could read this consistent with the approach that the Rashba mentions in terms of understanding the Rigash, that it isn't so, that you need Lashon HaKodesh for Shvua Bitui. So that's a very basic overview of what we said. We'll leave it at that. The alternative, which we'll, I guess, pick up with some other time, is we'll figure that maybe tomorrow, is maybe, and this I think is probably more likely just the Rigash, as opposed to the Rashba, the Rigash, maybe it's Zavka Shvua Bitui. It's not a general Lashon. Right? No, I agree with you. The Lashon, Shvus Bitui, all these things that you're saying here, right? The Rebbe got to say, I agree with you. Kinuyin, maybe that means Lashon Chol. Right? Marakula, you see, it works with Lashon Chol. No, this is Dimi Shvus at the end. So we'll explore that. It shouldn't be that long. I think this is the bulk. Yeah, this is the bulk of the analysis, but I think we'll add that to the beginning next year. Okay?
Sure.